everyone. Welcome back to your Atlanta podcast. I am your host, Mappy Davis. It's Thursday, the 15th of March. What did I say? Bunch of episodes, right? Bunches and bunches of episodes. So here's your second one of the week. Not much else to say but that, so let's get right to it. On today's program, April from Foxers. Yes, her name is in fact April Spring, and she has a lingerie company. Lingerie, sleepwear, loungewear, some other kind of wear that I can't remember. But she has a great, great story, and it's the kind of thing we love to do here. Focus on cool Atlanta people, up to really cool Atlanta things. And I think there's some great business lessons in here, and also just a general fun chat, because hey, well, that's what I do, the fun chats. Okay, April and I, away we go.
Start at the beginning.
Okay.
Where did you grow up?
Norfolk, Virginia. Virginia Beach,
yeah.
That area. They call Hampton Roads, you know.
And what did you want to be when you were a young person?
I think I wanted to run a store.
A store?
Of any kind. So I always wanted to run a store, and then I wanted to be a lawyer. So I would bounce between, it was an entrepreneur, a business. I used to collect and clean up all my mom's stuff when I was 10 years old. I had like a little store in the house, but it was all, you know, empty cans and milk bottles and things like that. And I would sell it out of my closet. So it was like a make-believe store.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, there's five of us.
And where are you in the...
I'm the second to the oldest. There's one, the boy is oldest, my brother Eddie.
Right.
And then it's myself, and then three girls below me, you know, Susie, Nancy, Holly. Great family. We're like so close. So
and then
close.
Did you sell them the stuff?
Yes. They had to buy it from me. They had to buy their milk or, you know, vegetables or whatever they were buying.
Right. Hey, let me get this. Yeah. Make sure we're...
That was so funny. So,
go ahead.
And then when I was about, I guess, 8, I kind of felt a little afraid of the dark. So what I was doing was manifesting, which I didn't learn until, you know, until I was probably in my 40s, really, about manifesting. And
did you watch The Secret?
Yes, several times. Several times. So I'm just starting to try to manifest again. But I mentally do that because I do have this weird thing about when it's dark and I'm in the bed, you know. So I've had a ghost come around me when I was alone one time in a haunted house. So, hi. Anyway, when I was about 8, I would make myself think of wedding dresses. So
Yourself think of wedding
yes,
dresses.
My mind would go to like, is there a ghost in the room? And then I would change it to, you know, pretty dresses, wedding dresses. Because the only dress as an 8-year-old you really know is a wedding dress, right?
Right.
You know, so I would just dream of wedding dresses. And my first dream that came to me was a red ball gown, a girl walking down the aisle in a wedding dress. And that was 1968. So in 1968, because I was 8 years old, and I saw this.
I thought you were closer to my age, but okay.
Yeah. 58 in another month, going to Amsterdam for my birthday. So anyway, that I didn't know till many years later that that's what I was doing, you know. So it's like people say you can control your mind if you make your mind think positive. I would, when I'd go to bed, admit for most of my life, make myself think of clothing.
Right.
Because I've loved fashion since I was little. I started sewing when I was 11.
Do you think you can control your mind or more try to guide your thoughts?
I would say guide your thoughts when you're asleep, before you sleep.
Right.
And then...
Because it's like the don't think of peak elephants thing, right? It's hard to force
yes.
it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like so what happened, you go from being a kid afraid of the dark to later stresses of life, you know.
Right.
Oh, I need to pay that bill, or I need to finish this project, or
right.
college with, you know, college projects and high school projects, you know. So you think of, or somebody's hurt your feelings, you know, thinking of that over and over and over.
Right.
So I used fashion to stop that feeling of someone always bothering me. Sorry.
It's okay.
Someone walking in our door and I don't know who it is.
It's okay. What was your first job?
My first job, gosh, I'm trying to think. Well, babysitting for years.
Right.
And then after babysitting my first job, I was 12. And I ran, there was a phone call center. And I went in there to, someone said, hey, I can get you a job sitting in this phone call center. It's 12, yeah. Because I remember I didn't have a learner's, not learner's, a work permit yet. Because I had to be 13 or whatever. And so I went in there, and I was working in the call center, and I said, I don't like this. I don't want to call people. I still, to this day, don't like that. And so they said, well, you can be the supervisor.
At 12?
At like 12. I think I turned 13 while I was working there. And I ran.
Were you tall?
I ran the room. Yes, I was tall.
Okay, so that helps a little bit.
And I guess everyone says, because I'm a Taurus, I'm always want to be in control.
Right.
You know, like, I'm a organizer.
Right.
So, and I think that's what, you know, having a brand or a company is, you're a project manager.
Right.
So I make a great PM.
Well, let's get into that a little bit, because not necessarily. Some people are great at the vision.
Yes.
Bad at execution.
Right.
Or bad at managing.
Right.
You kind of have the whole package?
The background. No, there's one piece missing.
Which, financial?
Sales.
Sales?
Sales.
How is that possible?
I just don't like, I mean, I'm an order taker. I've been so fortunate to be fairly good at publicity, or people just say, hey, we want to, you know, I got on the big idea because they just found me, you know.
Right.
And that was because
with Donnie Deutsch?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that about you.
Yes.
Let's talk about him. Not right this second. We'll get to it.
He's
I didn't even know. Yeah?
He's amazing. I would love to go back with, you know, on his show, or I heard he's back on TV, so.
Right.
Yeah. That was a great experience.
All right, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
We'll bounce. I'm a little wacky ADD.
Yeah, me too.
Good. Awesome. All right.
But
clearly you're not shy, you're engaging,
mm-hmm.
right? You have a presence, you're a taller person.
Like, yeah.
So I'm, it's hard for me to hear that you say you're not good at sales.
So I can tell you something, a story, you know, about a product, or get you excited. I can sell the product because I end up at the trade shows doing the best. And if I call a store, they usually buy. But
then by definition,
I don't want to cold call
you don't,
a store.
Oh, you don't want to do the cold call.
I don't
want to
do the phone cold call.
Right. See,
yeah.
I'm okay at that part.
I know. I'm so impressed. And I say, oh, I should do that. I'm so impressed with the people who call me over and over. And then eventually I buy or I use them.
Okay. Well, here's another thing I think listeners can learn from, because I always say it's a fine line between persistent and pain in the ass.
Yes.
So how does somebody walk that line with you without you feeling like, ugh, is it frequency of contact or how they approach it? Like, when you say you're impressed with that person,
yes.
Like, how does someone get your attention that way?
Well, it has to be something I need. First of all, because I notice, like, you know, I get inquiries all day, every day from factories around the world,
right.
to manufacture our brand, and models and, you know, photographers and things like this. But I have three good photographers, you know, and they're all right here and they know what I like. It's really hard to, like, break in another photographer, and I've wasted so much money just having one do it one at a time, you know, to try a new one. It's a waste of money. So it has to be something that I'm looking for. So someone recently just sent me a letter. So I got a letter from him. Then I got an email. Then I got a call. And I thought, this guy is really good. You know, he wants my business. It just so happens to be something I'm looking for. So I usually will say on the email, email's the best way to contact me, first of all. And I'll say, oh, we can talk at this time. But he just calls. And he calls three times. So I did say, look, I'm going to set aside time to talk to you.
Right.
Because I am looking for this service. And
do you not want to mention what the service is?
Oh, yeah. It's, well.
Not him particularly.
No.
Okay, that's fine.
Talk about it.
But, okay.
Yeah. So. Anyway, I finally actually just had a long talk with him yesterday, and I was very impressed. And it turned out that when I got off the phone, I said, instead of what he wants me to do, I said, I'm going to use this guy for this. And he doesn't know it yet. And then 5 minutes later, he calls me back, and he said, hey, I just wanted you to know. And I said, I know what you're going to say, that I can use you as a consultant before we come in with you, because I need you a little bit at first. And he said, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I said, yeah, I got off the phone and I said, I'm going to use him as a consultant before we use his services full time.
Wow.
And he goes, wow. I said, yes. And, but I knew he would do that, you know, because he's still getting his business fully set up, and it's not ready until May, but he's pre-getting the, you know, out there scoping and getting business before he sets up. That's why I was impressed with him, too. So there's a difference between, okay, you have a company like Spanx, and then you have Foxers. We're both in Atlanta.
Right.
She was a salesperson.
Right.
I was a business person.
Right.
I was, I'd say, like kind of like PM, you know. I worked in finance world. I worked with investor relations and stuff like that. I had my own firm. So the difference is I can produce, and I can manage, and I can get everything out, and it's a great product, and it's well-organized, and it's well-executed. But I'm not the one sitting there, okay, now let's call the boutiques. And she was the opposite. She was selling, selling, selling. I heard she called one store 30 times before they took the product. I was on the big idea, and I had every department store call us. So I didn't have to do that.
She was on that Branson show.
Yeah, she was on the Branson show, right? I heard that. I never saw that because it was in England, right? Or something.
No, it was here. And
it was here.
It was actually pretty funny because it was kind of the opposite of The Apprentice in that, like, Brand, and again, like, forget what we know now about Trump.
Yes.
This is like back then.
Yeah.
And like just what a like deep soul and heart Branson is, and kind of how he interacted with the people on the show. Versus kind of how Trump is.
I follow him.
Yeah, he's like, right?
He's unbelievable.
Right, he's in there in the Steve Jobs sort of.
Yes.
You know.
In case he listens to your podcast, I want my 60th birthday party on his island.
On Necker Island?
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing you might not be too many steps removed from that.
Okay.
Right?
That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, if you want.
My friends think I'm crazy, but I said nope.
Well, if you're into the manifesting thing and you keep thinking about that, I think there are. I mean, I don't know how it works, but I bet you're, put it this way. You have looked at
I've already planned it all, it's like 25,000 a couple, but you can do it other ways. That's like the best situation.
Right.
So.
Right, probably worth it.
Yes.
But then there's, you can, I suppose, get into his circle somehow, but anyhow. Mm-hmm.
He's amazing. I follow him, do all this stuff.
But anyhow. But that's actually before, I don't think that actually launched her much. I mean, we could ask her. I want to get her. I've talked to her husband. I've not spoken with her.
I think she was big before. I mean, I think she was doing well before him, right? Or
no, she wasn't. I hadn't heard of Spanx. I don't think anybody had back then.
Okay.
Do you know Sarah well?
No, I don't know her at all. I just admire her.
You've not traveled in?
I probably have three. I have an advisor. And I have two or three friends that know her well.
Right.
And I have an advisor that's close friends with her.
Right.
So.
Why don't you set up a lunch or a coffee?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not ready. I figure out. I will. I'll meet her in time.
Right.
But I've met some of the other people that are just same caliber. You know, there's a group of women that are in that caliber that are based out of Atlanta, and I'm connected with that group.
Right.
So I have a goal. I have to get my sales to a certain level, and then those women will come in and help me grow it to the next level.
Okay, got it.
So that's my plan right now.
Well, I didn't even mean
I would
help
love to.
Per se, I just meant
to talk.
To chat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you never know where.
I wouldn't call her.
You would never call her?
No, I would never call her. I would, if someone introduced me or if I went to an event where I met her, that would be different.
Right. But so what are you afraid of?
I don't want to, like, she's like, who's this girl calling me?
It's so funny, I think, that you think that.
Yeah, it is?
Yes.
Really? That's how I think. I mean, I'm just some girl in Atlanta, you know, and I'm going to pick up the phone and call her. Although we were in the same showroom, our brands were in the same showroom for 2.5
years. Right, but think about the people that do want to work with you, right? Like this guy is like, well, why is she going to work with me? I'm nobody, blah, 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 right?
But he has a service that I need. I don't have anything that she needs.
No, I'm saying like, hey, I'd love to have coffee. Perhaps we can help each other out. I mean, that's just that's what I always do.
Oh, you think I could help her out? Maybe.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just saying that's, like, this is a direct thing. Like, I want to have you on the show, but I'm saying if I want to meet with somebody and I think they can help me, I just sort of say, Perhaps there's a way we can help each other, let me know. And then they either say yes or no.
Okay. I'll use those words.
So, clearly not a salesman. Now I get it.
I know. You get it, right?
Right.
I mean, because I'm over here doing my thing.
Right.
And I figure those are the kind of people I say I'll meet them one day.
Okay.
Yeah. No, when it's time.
Right. And I think that's
And I'm so close. You know, I'm like her best friends I've had dinner with and lunch with right. and stuff like that. But I'm not, I've never talked with her.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, you know, women in business and chamber things and things like that that she attends and I attend.
So it's going to come is what it's you're saying.
Yeah.
You're sort of waiting for the mm-hmm. right mm-hmm. opportunity.
Yeah.
So we were talking about what you were doing growing up. You said you were in the financial world?
Yes, yeah. I worked with helping companies go public. I used to teach them how to go public.
And you had and none of this was going on.
None of this. I always wanted to have, you know, be in design or make my own clothes or run a fashion brand or something. My dream is to be in Bergdorf's. That's like my top. And I worked for Saks Fifth Avenue for a while. So I also wouldn't mind being in Saks. Right now my goal is Bloomingdale's first. And I want to do an exclusive with them. But I didn't... Well, because I was the oldest of the five kids, I was like business school. So the fashion school was just too out of the question. It was too expensive. But all the women, all my aunts sewed when we grew up and made all the clothes. So my mother made almost all of our clothes growing up. So.
And so then you learned to make clothes?
Mm-hmm. Well, I did, but I usually use an expert seamstress. So I'm like, you know, I'm not like Valentino, but Chanel was more of a sewer, but Valentino was more, he had seamstress, right? So, but he has the eye. So I can work with someone who's been 25, 30 years making clothes and tell them what's wrong with the clothes. Like every inch, I can say that seam is off or that seam needs to be thinner or that needs to be this or that needs to be that. So, I mean, I pick my clothes apart all the time.
But without ever going to any kind of fashion school.
Oh, right. No, it's all innate.
So you're in the financial world and yeah. like this is kind of always like calling you
yeah.
somewhere?
Yes, yes. So what I did is I started my own consignment store, and then I had one section where I represented Florida designers. I was in Boca Raton at the time.
Okay. We have to sort of back up and set the stage a little bit because mm-hmm. we're in such a different world now, which I always want which I also want to get to, which is people can not have a store
yeah.
and just be virtual and like there's whole other ways to go about it.
Right. And that was so long ago though.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I'm just sort of like mm-hmm. sort of resetting the stage for people
yes.
to kind of like bring it home. So
now they can just make clothes and put them online. Right.
Right.
Right. So, Etsy is perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So back then you had your own consignment store?
Right. I had one in Boca Raton. It was called the coolest store in town a couple of years in a row. And I only had it for 18 months, to tell you the truth, because then we were moved to Malaysia. And
we?
My husband got his Motorola sent him to Malaysia.
Okay.
So we followed. So I closed my investor relations and I closed the store. I sold the store.
Right.
I sold the store. And the store gave me my salary for the next couple of years, two and a half years.
Wait a minute. The store?
I sold the consignment store.
Right.
It was a vintage. It turned into vintage clothing.
And what was it called?
Vintage in Vogue.
Okay. And great name.
Thank you. I love the name. And I owned the website, and it was awesome. And they didn't want the website. I was like, "What? You guys are crazy."
Did you keep the domain name?
We kept it for a while, but they right. didn't ever use it. I think somebody else ended up taking it. We dropped it.
I was going to say vintageinvogue.com is a great name.
A great name. And we dropped it after a while, and someone bought it. Someone in the area that wanted it.
Right. So you're in Malaysia.
So we're in Malaysia, and that's when I came up with the idea for Foxers, because we would sit in these on Saturday mornings. There's no competition in Malaysia like there are the shopping centers here. You can only have one coffee shop, one bridal shop. If you go to Asia, you can have 15 streets of just bridal, or your shopping centers has every country's coffee shop in a row. So everybody comes out, and you might be sitting next to a group of Chinese girls, you know, or a group of Malaysian girls, or some people from Australia, and everybody has their own coffee shop. We were sitting at Gloria Jean's, somebody's at Starbucks, somebody's at a mom and pop Chinese shop right in the middle of the two. So we were watching these people, these girls, and they kept lifting their pants up, like their jeans. They kept adjusting their jeans, and I was like, oh, their thongs are sticking out because they're wearing, like, the jeans are so short now. There were, you know, micro low, but the thongs didn't change. So right. Nobody was making a low thong at the time. I said, and Alex goes, that's the style. And I said, that's not the style. He's like, yeah, that's the style. That's what the girls want. So we had all these couple friends that were that also come out on have coffee. So we had Austria, who is now my distributor for Foxers on her sixth year, by the way. So she was there that day that I created Foxers. And she goes, every guy said 100% that was the style, the girl's thong to stick out. And every girl from five countries said that was not the style. We didn't want it to stick out. It's just the change in the clothes.
And the lesson here is?
Light bulb moment, create the product that's needed.
Well, also.
Also that guys are looking at it differently than girls. Thank you, Matt.
That's sort of what I was
I didn't know what you were thinking. But no, yes, exactly.
There are clearly men who know far more about fashion than me, but in this particular case, it sounds like the women had it right.
Right, the women had it right, yes. And that's when there's a complete disconnect between the male and female of what is going on in fashion. You know, or what is, you know, supposed to be, or what is, so it, things aren't always as they seem.
Right.
So, and I had no idea that my husband was thinking that that was fashion.
Right.
And neither did the other wives there that day.
And what year is this?
And this was in 2006.
Okay. Not that
2005.
Long.
2005.
Not that long ago.
2005, yeah. So I went home, no, it was beginning of six, sorry, because we left in the middle of six. We left Malaysia. I went home and I went to the department store that day and I bought a pack of boxers, a three pack. And I bought new underwear because I wanted somebody to
like boy shorts or like regular boxers?
No, regular old fashioned boxers.
Like guy boxers.
Yeah, because I had said to my husband, well, you guys have always had that boxer band, which is made out of outerwear fabric, cotton woven fabric,
right,
sticking out for 100 years. You know, it started with the white boxers and they've always shown. And I said, well, those, not only do they stick, you know, press against your skin well because it's a wide band, but it's also outerwear fabric. It kind of is like an accessory to your outfit. I was just talking about the white ones. And then, of course, right after I developed Foxers, the rappers all had their jeans below their ass. So I was like, that's not what I meant. You know, it was kind of colliding with Foxers' launch. But anyway, Donnie Deutsch got the idea and he thought it was he said more than $1 million idea.
But all right, well, we have to back up slightly and the name comes from, I'm sure you've told the story 100 times,
so,
but go ahead.
The name I started with was Box Hers, which was,
aha.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't sound right?
And it kind of doesn't roll off the tongue.
And it sounds like boxers. People
right.
would, it's not a name, you
right,
know?
Right,
right. But it was Box Hers. It's actually
go ahead.
It's actually on some of our products. We have products with boxers on it, or my samples, my first samples. But then my trademark attorney in the US, so I take the underwear to the trademark attorney, and they file for Box Hers, and so on a Friday morning I get an email. This was the first nightmare of Foxers, of being a brand owner. Friday morning, my factory's Malaysia, because that's where we lived, and they were starting on Sunday to print the elastic and the labels and everything. So on Friday morning, I get an email at 8 a.m. from my attorney saying that name was taken and I had to choose another name. Do you know how hard it is to name a product or a company? It's really hard. So
that's not been my experience, but.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's a lot of initials or it kind of, a name falls into place because it's what it's going on.
Right.
But to name a brand.
No, I think it can go either way. I think sometimes they just happen and sometimes they take, So I've had two or three businesses and I just sort of like when I launched my first staffing company, mm-hmm. I just made like initials that meant nothing.
That was mine, Spring and Associates,
And then I was forced to explain it for the next 8 years when it never really meant anything.
Right, okay. Well, that's what people all guess different on my name, Foxers.
Right.
Female Boxers is what a lot of them say, but it's men's and women's. It's swim and underwear and it's loungewear. That's why Donnie thought the name was so great. It's like six letters, Foxers. He goes, they told me the name one time and I've never forgotten it.
Right.
And that's just one of those X words. It's easy to remember. But the name came to me in a dream on Saturday night before Sunday when we had to print the labels because I had to get it to my factory. And it was just literally a man's voice said Foxers, and my husband, being an engineer, believes it's like a math equation. So you're going to bed trying to solve a math problem and it comes to you in your sleep. So he got up at 3 a.m. Because I said to him, I have the name. It's Foxers. It just came to me in a voice. And I asked, what did you say? And said, Foxers. So it's either God, some people say. It's working it out like a math problem. But someone told me to use the name Foxers. And my husband got up at 3 in the morning and checked the USPTO, and it was never used. Ever. Never. A six-letter word that sounds awesome. So that morning, we sent it to the factory, and they printed everything in Foxers.
That's amazing.
I know. It's but it's just so weird. But I've had a few things happen to me like that.
Well, how about just being in Malaysia in the first place?
I know. I was sitting at a women's business group one day, and they said, I have one room turned into fashion. And I was drawing and stuff like that. And they said, what are you doing with all these drawings? And are you making these clothes? And I said, yeah, I started making some of them. And they said, well, we'll buy them. And I was like, well, you can't buy them. They're just clothes that I make for myself. And they said, no, we want to buy them. And they said, you know, there's a design school here in Malaysia. And the company paid for me to go. So I said, well, I just want to learn illustrating because I don't know how to translate my dream. I dream fashion, and it's in color, and it's full detail. And I wake up in the morning, and I draw it, and I'm like, God, even I can't tell what the heck that is. So I went to illustrating school at a Chinese, all Chinese girls design school, which was so much fun, so much fun. By the way, it is a lot of fun to be the minority. I had a blast. I totally milked it in Malaysia.
Because?
You're just different. And you're it, you know, you walk in and everybody's like, there's the, you know, American girl, the only one in town. So there was only a few of us in Malaysia at the time.
And that's also where, they make stuff.
Yeah, and they do. I had a designer friend in Miami who wanted to meet manufacturers. And in my building was the guy who was Levi's of Malaysia. You know, he was billionaire, you know, he was the guy. So I introduced him to him, and then I had myself invited as a designer to a Kuala Lumpur manufacturing convention. And I sat with three manufacturers at a round table, and I got to meet all of them. When I came up with the idea later, not knowing I would ever use these people, it was for my friend. I actually took him on a tour of the factories. And he ended up not using any of the factories. He tried to use one, but it didn't work out. So fast forward a year later, I come up with Foxers, and I have these three manufacturers I sat and had dinner with at the convention. And they, one of them said, I can make those for you. And they've been my manufacturer ever since, for 12, 13 years.
So if you had had this idea in Boca Raton, you would have had to make the trip over.
Yeah, I would have to figure that out, yes.
So definitely you feel like there's something going on. God, the universe,
yes.
Magic fairies.
Something lines up, yeah. Or I'm just following it. I take opportunities and I seek out opportunities. So, and then I know that those things are going to come back to work with me. And then you learn, once you're doing something like this, when you're really in what you love to do, you realize, you look back and everything you've done led you to this. So I have all this background. I worked in a department store. I worked in Saks Fifth Avenue. I had my own store, so I understand what the boutiques are going through. I work with them very well. You know, I know what they need. I know what they don't need. When the market went south, I said, no more minimums. This is terrible. The store needs to order when they need to order. They don't need 20 of something if they don't need 20 of something. So everyone in the showroom says, you can't do that. All the other brands. I had 21 brands in the showroom. And I said, this is what I'm doing. It wasn't even 1 year every brand was following what I said. I said, okay, this is, we have no minimums. Once you order the first, when you order a new fashion collection, it was a small minimum because you want it to have a nice display. That's the whole reason for minimums usually. But some of them had $1,000 minimums. And these are boutique owners. So if you have a $1,000 minimum with each brand and you have 100 brands, you know, okay.
I'm going to stop this real quickly just because my battery is going to die soon and I want to do some stuff. Hang on.
Okay. Monica, is that Maurice?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. You know what? I completely thought that was a phone call.
He was here early.
Okay, Maurice, I'll be with you soon. Thanks.
Are we?
No.
Okay. I do want to plug this in while we're still. Let me pause this really quickly.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Let me move my water out of your way.
So now you were talking about, oh yeah, you want to get the stuff out of the way? Are we good?
Oh, it's good. It makes it look more natural.
Okay. My stuff's a bit of a mess. But okay, so tell me about, are you taking a picture or just we're just natural?
Picture? I was just doing a boomerang.
Oh, okay. A boomerang. Can I do something?
So
when I started boomerangs, I was the first one in the office to start doing boomerangs, and the girls were like, "What's a boomerang?"
I do not believe you. You found it before she did?
Oh no, before Monica. I had another social media girl, and I found it before her.
Then you should fire her because
six people.
Every woman knows about the boomerang.
Yeah, this was. I started doing boomerang. I guess you can look back 2 years ago when it first came out. I found it.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm like that though. I find stuff.
If you could just tag ATL podcast, that'd be awesome.
Yes.
So.
Do you do at or a hashtag or both?
For ATL Podcast, it's at ATL Podcast. Okay. I use all the Atlanta hashtags, and I sort of search Atlanta hashtags. I think that's how I found you.
Good. And Neil put us on Google. Like you search when you did our address. It was, I don't know what it used to say. It didn't say anything.
Well, there's a lot of other things.
So
here.
A lot of things that he was able to fix that people started finding us. Now we have people walk into, you know, shop.
Right.
Because now they think it's a store. And they'll go, "This is the biggest store? I didn't expect it." I'm like, "Oh, it's just a showroom."
Yeah, I would think you wouldn't want people to come by because it's a showroom.
Mm-mm. We didn't plan it. I set it up, wanted to be even closer, but my husband found this office and it was just, this is literally.
Exactly what you need?
Exactly my vision of a Foxer's office. Not just a Foxer's office, but of my dream office. Oh gosh, 20 years ago? Like, it's exactly it. And I said, that is so weird, you know? Things like that happen to me all the time. I had this dream one time where the sink in the house was like the main part of the dream. And what my husband said and what my mom said happened like years later. It was exactly the same. Like, my husband was outside doing something and it was this, my mom said, "So you had a dream about a big giant mansion and it had this gold hammered sink with these pink and navy room. There was a bathroom. It was a really cool little bathroom, but it was actually, so I had that, and fast forward a few years, and we get the house, but it's not that big of a mansion. And my husband happens to be outside, but in my dream, it's like a massive house and he's outside. And my mother asks, "Where's Alex?" And first I say, "Mom, you gotta see this bathroom." We go upstairs and I show her the bathroom. That's what happened in the dream. Exact bathroom, gold hammered sink, pink and blue tile and wall. Very Italian looking. And my mom, I turn around and she goes, "Where's Alex?" And I said, "Oh, he's outside looking at something." And I just went, "Oh my God, that was my dream, to a T." And that's again, all these other things that happen like that.
So you were talking about when Donnie Deutsch found you.
Yes.
So how did his people find you, or he find you?
So I believe in giving, you know, I give compliments when due. You know, like a product is really great, I send them an email or whatever. So there was this website where it really helped me out all the time. It helped me find all the trade shows. It told you the colors that were coming up for the year, although I don't really use that, but I did like to see it and see if I was in line once I came up with my ideas. And I'm always like right on or ahead. It's just amazing. I'm so happy about that. But I would use their site all the time and it's just so awesome. You know, I could look anything up, any store up, anything. So I just sent them a couple sentences one day saying, "You know, you guys are doing an amazing job. This site is so helpful to me as a brand owner. And I refer it all the time when people are starting brands, you know, and they don't know what to do or where to go. I use your site as the first thing I tell them to do." And they fast forward 2 years, they're going to change their name to We Connect Fashion. And they said, "Can we use your quote? We love your quote. We've saved it forever." You know, like, we've saved it. And I said, "Yeah." And then they picked a photo that I had on some media previously, and they said, "Can we use this photo?" And I said, "Yes, that's our photo, you can use that photo." And they put it on the front of their site, and it stayed on there for about 5 or 6 years. Like, it would flash three different photos, and my photo with that quote would flash. Well, Donny Deutsch evidently did a Valentine's thing in 2007, Valentine's Day. He had an entrepreneur that was doing lingerie. So fast forward 2008, I launched in 07. He tells his producer or manager or whatever, I want another lingerie company on Valentine's Day. So she goes on to Weekend Fashion, sees me off to the side, and of course they want something that's inventive. Mine's inventive. You know, so it's a, and it's patented, and I have two patents on it. And so they, I was at a trade show in Vegas. They flew me, first I had to fill out this huge form, and then they send them products, and they loved everything. And Donnie's like, that's it, that's the girl we want. And they flew me in first class from Vegas to the show, amazing hotel, limousine in the morning, everything. Well, I found out later that that wasn't actually how everyone was treated. But some people have to fly in themselves, show up and drive themselves and have their own hotel. So right. I was really lucky there because I was like, I'm at a trade show. Like I was kind of saying, I can't make it, you know.
Right.
But they were like, no, we want her here. So that's how I met Donny. And he was so kind and so interesting. And he said, you know, are you nervous? And I said, no, I'm elated. I'm so excited to be sitting next to you and just have a moment to be able to just say hi and how much I appreciate this day. And he said, great. He said, you're doing great. We love your product. We love the name Foxers. We think it's $1 billion idea, not $1 million
wow.
idea. And then when I finished, his producer comes over to me, this tall guy, he just says, April, I need to talk to you. And I was like, yeah, what? He said, I just want you to know that Donnie and I both thought this was like $1 billion idea. It should be a brand, a huge brand. He said, just the name alone.
Right.
And so he said, we wish you luck and we can't, you know, wait to hear how you do in the future. So I was like, okay. And then the recession happened after that, the next year. So that changed everything. That changed all the buyers. Oh, so being on Big Idea brought me all the department stores.
Really?
I was a household name in every department store.
Well, see, that's interesting because, you know, people always want, you know, publicity or they're trying to find the right advertising mm-hmm. move. And one television appearance mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily mean that. I
right.
mean, if you're on Oprah, it does.
Yes,
right?
exactly.
But that
and
show.
That's what happened with Sarah.
Right. But that show mm-hmm. is an Oprah. So, mm-hmm. so.
But it was corporate. So we saw 750. At all times, 750 people were on our site. So my husband had built the site, Alex. He is my partner and co-founder. And he's a software engineer and works for big companies. He works for IBM now. And he builds my websites, you know. And he's brilliant. And he said, oh, my gosh, I got to make sure the site is going to handle the Big Idea.
Right.
So he was nervous, like, oh, gosh, is it going to handle it? But it was no problem. It handled it fine because it immediately 750 people were on the site.
Right.
And then it just kept growing. And then it stayed like that. And then Donnie loved the brand so much, he kept putting it. He took it to Kalamazoo.
Oh, nice.
He put it on like 8 times.
Nice.
It was on and on and on. And so I had Foxer's T-shirts. And I had already, I had some extra product that I wanted to get sell off and wanted to also spread, used it more as marketing, right?
Right.
To send to Marmax, Marshall's, TJ Maxx. And when I worked with the buyer, they immediately took everything. Price was no object. I gave them a price and they said, yep, they just took it all. And they just wanted Foxers in their store, what I found out later. And then I had Bloomingdale's call me and say, you know, we want you in our store. Dillard's found me at the trade show. And she said, we've been following you, and you're like the IT brand. They brought me in next to Ed Hardy and Vera Wang and all these as an
wow.
IT brand. So Foxers was in with the top 10 designers they had, and they were all huge brands. And so corporate-wise, in the fashion world, Foxers was like a household name. And so the brand name was massive. So it's kind of stayed like that, but you know, everything changes after a recession. Everybody loses jobs and they move the buyers around and all of that. So we did go into Dillard's for about 2 years. And then after the recession, we couldn't afford like, you know, pay and marketing and do stuff like that. So that's when we transitioned to Atlanta. And I kind of started almost over again.
So where were you before?
In Virginia for a while. That's where Alex's job was after Malaysia.
Okay.
Yeah. And then his job changed during that time. So he started looking for a new career, and we chose between New York and Atlanta, we chose Atlanta. So he had opportunities in both. And I was like, New York, oh my gosh, that's perfect. You know, if a brand is in New York, it grows to millions immediately.
Of course.
But if a brand is in, if I had been Boca Raton, I wouldn't have gone anywhere. Although it's like the little New York.
Right.
The connections are good. But nothing like that. I was in Virginia, which is really, really tough, you know, to grow a brand there.
So why do you feel like it was starting over here if you're already in all these stores?
Because I pulled out of Dillard's during the, before the move here.
Right.
Yeah, because it was just, I was the ninth brand that stopped of the 10 that went in for that collection.
Are you, if he gets another job again, are you moving or is this it?
No, this should be it. This is it. Yeah.
Atlanta's it.
Yeah. Yeah. His group sold their company to IBM.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So we're here. So I just said that there, you know, he does really well with IBM too, and he's based here. So he doesn't have to move. And then the next step is would be him working with Foxers or, you know, another software company. And Atlanta's awesome for a software company. Everyone who works in his group that sold to IBM, most of them are in Atlanta. So 3 out of 5 are in Atlanta.
So you are the kind of couple that does work well together, that can make that transition?
Yes, yeah.
To kids or no kids?
No kids, okay. No children. Lots of nieces and nephews, though.
Right.
So we do have kids.
Right.
But, you know, they're nieces and nephews. We're the awesome aunt and uncle.
Right. That's a
good, I love doing that.
That's a good place to be.
Yes, yeah. I'm like Oprah. She said, all children need a really good aunt and uncle.
Right.
You know, because they don't always treat them the same as their parents.
No, of course.
Yeah. Somebody to spoil them and tell things and help out once in a while.
Right.
Yeah. So I love that part. I love children, but I'm kind of glad because Foxers is a child.
No, right, of course.
You know, it's a child. Love too. You know, love what I do. And I'm so excited for the future. I just can't wait until, like, I'm like, oh, the next step. I always envision Foxers as like a mast ship, like a big, huge ship. And then I'm at the helm and I'm turning, but this wheel is like, oh, and I'm like right here and the wind is like right there. I feel like the wind is like just to my right. And as soon as I hit it, I'm going to just take off and it's going to be huge. So, and I just had this idea the other night and I turned to Alex. I said, I'm going to make us a lot of money. He said, I know you are. That was really nice. That's confidence he gives me. So, and you need it too when you own your brand and you have lots of competitors.
Yeah, I think having a good, I mean, it's really, that's what I've learned about marriage. Like, you really are a team.
Yes.
Like, even yes. If
that
person.
You don't get where you're going without that.
Right. Even if that person doesn't work on the business itself.
Right.
They're still, like, in your corner and your team. Yeah. And my wife will tell me if I have a horrible idea, right?
Yes.
Which you kind of need sometimes, too.
Oh, definitely.
Or she'll say, I don't know, why don't you talk to, you know, and she'll name a couple friends of mine that are business owners or mentors or whatever, and mm-hmm. she'll sort of guide me that way. And I'll be like, oh, you know, you're right. That's actually the best thing she does mm-hmm. is if I say, what should I do? It's usually nothing. Like, just sleep on it, right?
Yeah.
And sleep on it can mean a night or a week. But you know what I mean? I think that's some of the best things that she
can tell you to do is sleep on it.
Yes.
I have learned that in business. You definitely wait a day or a week or sometimes even months. If I get really upset with what someone's done, it might be 3 months before I really deal with it.
Yeah.
It might be too long, but it's a different story when I actually deal with it.
Sending that angry email is almost never a good idea.
You're right. That is probably
because it makes noise.
You hear it. I learned that early on. I mean, because you just want to, oh, you know, we had so many people try to hurt us or rip us off. We had some really serious issues the first year.
Just with, like, just cheap competitors, you mean?
Someone that was a rep for a big department store came in. We had him sign an NDA. We were already sold the product to another multi-million-dollar account. And he was calling us about another account, and I said, well, I want to do that account in a year because I feel like I don't want to sabotage the brand. That account was a little bit lower scale than what I was in Dillard's and going for. I was looking for Bergdorf's and Saks and all. That's my background. So he signed an NDA, and we think he's an expert at doing this. He took the NDA, for sure. We never could find it. And he went to the factory that I had secured for a downline for Foxers. But I didn't want to put it out until like 09. And he went around the world showing my brand to all these factories all over Asia, from literally country to country, Vietnam, everywhere.
Wow.
He ended up using the factory that he knew I secured. And he put it out. So he
put and called it whatever.
In the department store. He got the commission. He also ruined our other
Wait, the department
sale.
Store actually took it?
They didn't know.
With a different name or the same name?
With their own brand name.
Okay.
My patented design.
Right.
The patent was due. We were told your patent will come in December, the 1st of December. We actually got a letter through my patent attorney saying, tell her to, I never wanted to sue the department store. I wanted to sue the guy.
Right.
In our hometown, in Virginia Beach.
Right.
I wanted to sue that guy.
Right.
But the lawyers in DC had big eyes and wanted to sue the department store. And I said, that's not what I want to do. Okay, so I was just sitting there waiting until we could sue this guy in Virginia Beach.
Right.
And they never, ever, they dropped the case. They were paid off, 99%, I think.
Wow.
Because they just dropped it like a hot potato. And then later, I had all these weird calls from attorneys' friends and other attorneys saying they are ethical and that they're sorry the case didn't go the way I wanted. But just to let you know, they're an ethical person. And they left the firm. And the girl I used left the firm. And it was just weird. It was this whole weird thing. So the department store had our stuff for 6 months, and I got a letter from one of their attorneys actually saying, tell your client to stop looking for a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And that's not me. I'm not litigious. I'm not looking for a pot of gold. I just wanted this guy to be in trouble for what he did to us. We lost a multi-million dollar account. Plus, we lost that department store because he sold it to him. And it said, we didn't sell any. We watched it sell out within a couple of weeks. And it was exactly, to a T, my plan, so close that the crotches were upside down because he took a sample from my office. And I said, this crotch is upside down. A girl's crotch goes, the big part goes in the front. Okay? The little part is short in the back. You don't need a crotch for your butthole. Whatever. Sorry. Anyways. But we had friends that were in law and patent law and all, and trademark law, and they thought, they said, that's going to be known as the upside down, the crotch story, right?
Right.
But it never materialized because they squashed it. And they squashed me, they squashed it, and it stopped. I had to pay $5,000 was, low, I know, for filing. All I wanted was cease and desist.
Right.
Because I have to. You have to protect your patent or you lose. You lose control of it.
Right.
So the next person will say, well, you didn't say anything when they did it. So, and design patents are getting better and more cared for. And now I don't care. Now I have a full brand and I have brand name and stuff, and I still have to protect it, but...
So if people try to do it again, it would be the stores and the buyers would know, oh, well, this is clearly...
Oh, they don't touch it. They haven't for years.
They know it's...
The Asians touch it. We have to put them... We have to stop them on Amazon, and then they'll move to eBay.
But isn't that... But that's
there.
What I heard this... So I went to a shoe...
It's terrible.
I went to the shoe Running USA or whatever it's called in Florida a couple years ago, and that's what they were talking about. Like, they can't possibly keep up with the amount of off, whatever... Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Retailers in Amazon and eBay, and there's just like, it's like the whack-a-mole, like you shut one down or another massive one opens up.
Yeah, or they move. And the one guy, so what made me mad about my time was trying to, or upset me, was the trying to stop a guy on Amazon, and they wouldn't just stop him because I said so. They wanted all this documentation on my stuff, so I had to pay $3,000 to my trademark and patent attorney. I shouldn't have had to pay that. It should have been, hey, it's pretty obvious. They're using our photos, our models, our product, everything. They're making a product. So I actually ordered that product just to see what it was. It was so horrible. It was the worst version of Foxers you could ever have in your hand. And they were using our name, They were using Foxers' name on their inside their site. They had to, because you type Foxers and they would come up. So the once the patent and trademark attorney filed with Amazon, shut him down immediately. So we had asked the guy personally to take it off. Well, he sends me a letter, an email. He says, can you please help me get back on Amazon? I've taken down your products.
Oh my God.
I was like, I'm furious. Okay. Dear sir, dear copycat sir, thief, because he's selling
right.
my stuff. Exactly, using my photos. I said, if you send me $3,000 US,
right,
I will think about writing a letter to Amazon.
Right, and his response was?
He went on eBay. He put the same photos, same product, and all that. But eBay, unlike Amazon, shut it down immediately when I emailed him. And my husband, Alex, emailed him. And they shut it down right away. So I was really happy then. Yay to eBay.
So let's talk about how you go from a product to an entire, I don't think the word is line, or just...
brand, like a full...
Yeah, like you're good at boxers, mm-hmm. but now we're going to add, I'm just looking at all this various stuff, right?
Right.
You're going to add tops and things, which you call loungewear,
right.
which I don't own any. It appears to be what attractive people
like
wear
yeah.
around the house.
Yes, yes, yes. You probably do, but you wear maybe track pants? Those are lounge pants.
I wear, the house shorts. Boxers and house shorts.
Oh, like basketball shorts?
Exactly.
Exactly. But you don't ever wear long ones?
I wear long, yeah, but like
those running pants.
Yeah, like that I got at Target or Walmart.
Running pants.
Loungewear.
Well, we'll just have to get some, handmade Foxers handmade here in Georgia. So I have men wearing our Foxers lounge pants, but they're made, specifically
but
for
anyway,
friends.
Because
so that's the next step.
Right. So the question is, because some would say, you're really great at this one thing,
mm-hmm.
don't diverse, and then
mm-hmm.
some people like create an entire brand
mm-hmm.
because they know how to like sort of make that.
Yeah.
Shift.
Because I have an eye since I was born for fashion. I mean, that's my passion and love. I look at everything on fashion. I mean, I follow everything, So I don't like all the cliches and the words and stuff. And designers come from a million different backgrounds. Prada never cut, sewn, and drawn anything in her life. She was wealthy and has a good eye for fashion. So she just started having clothes made, and she started a brand, Prada. That's the brand. Valentino really didn't, he can sew, but he didn't sew. He had six women that are probably at Valentino to this day, and they sewed the clothes. Chanel started out making hats and then took clothes. Ralph Lauren sold ties. He didn't make clothes, never sewed clothes. He does staples. He's kind of like your Gap, Banana Republic.
Right.
That was Ralph Lauren, and Ralph Lauren. Donna Karan and Ralph Lauren and, Calvin Klein families were in the garment business in New York. So they were children of garment makers. So Calvin started with five coats, rolling them down the street, sold them to Bergdorf's or Saks or somebody. So that's how they started. I manifested new clothes, whatever. I dream about them. I come up with a full color, draw everything. So what happened was I was making clothing and selling them in Malaysia to all my expat friends and to people that lived in Malaysia. Before, a year and a half before I came up with the idea for Foxers. So I was kind of like, I'll do Foxers for 10 years and then I'll get into April Spring Designs, because that's the name of the company, is April Spring Designs.
Actual name.
Mm-hmm, my actual name. Right, I know, born and raised with it. They're not hippies. Everyone thinks they're hippies because my name's April Spring.
But my son's name is River, so we're not hippies.
River?
Yeah.
I love that name.
Yeah, and it really fits him too.
So. Oh, it does? I love that name. So anyway, what happened was we launched the website in April of 2007, and I had three pair of underwear and different colors, three styles, different colors. And then my husband said, you need a rep in each region. So we were in Chicago for his work, and I went with him to go to the Chicago Mart. And again, not a salesperson. My husband made me go in the Mart to show the Foxers to the
good for him.
People in there. So I found Helen Newman, my favorite to die for rep ever, and she said, you need tops. You need tops to go with this.
Mm-hmm.
And she was selling another brand, lingerie, but mostly clothes. And now she does mostly leisure wear, athleisure. So anyway, she said, you need other tops. So I literally have my first catalog, has the underwear, and then the tops are in this little white box drawn. They're etchings like just with a pen drawing. And so there's two or three tops. I can't remember if I did two or three. And they bought the tops. And we had like, you know, 10,000 in sales from our first show, and they bought those tops with a drawing. They're like, yep, I'll take the top too. And then I was like, well, the top's going to look just like it, except, you know, this is, and it was right. just.
So they just trusted you could
They
do
just
it.
Trusted, yeah, because they saw the bottom and they just said, yeah, I'll take the top. They right. saw the drawing was good enough for them to recognize, and it literally was just my little drawing. And we went from there. So then, you know, I was like, tops. And I started out with actually men's and women's and swim. But I realized immediately at the first show, I had these three colors of boxers fabrics made into swimwear fabrics. And I thought, you can wear them as underwear or swim. I thought that was so cool. And I wanted to create this whole swim line that you wore out, but you could fall in the pool and be okay. So this was 2007, fall. And people would come and say, I want the plaid underwear. Red plaid, and that's hanging on the wall back there, that picture, and everyone looks at it and says, I want those. I'm like, I made those in 2007, you know, so I need to bring them back. But they say, I want the plaid underwear, and this was a lingerie show. And I'd say, oh, those are swimsuits. And they'd say, okay, then I won't take those.
Interesting.
The buyer was only intimate apparel.
Right.
And they'd say, no, then I don't want those.
Right.
And I'd say, oh, I should just say their underwear. What, I'm so dumb.
Right.
You know? But I didn't change it at a whole 3-day show. So the next time I said, okay, just drop the bathing suits and just do underwear. So you have to focus because there's one buyer.
Right.
Then after the recession, fast forward 5 years, the swim and the intimate apparel went together. So now, because of the post-recession, everything went together. Most of my boutiques weren't just intimate apparel anymore. They were gifts.
Let's see, isn't that interesting that
it changed.
That because of the recession,
mm-hmm.
right, you've got two buyers, now mm-hmm. you've got one.
One.
And that also, like, that goes along in your sort of manifestation happy accident
yeah,
stuff.
It does.
Right?
You're right. It sure did.
I mean, I'm sure there's
I
some other
I was like,
brand.
Darn it, I wish that I had, if I had only created Foxers, if this had all happened from 2010, like if I was on the big idea in 2010, it
right.
would have been a different brand. We would be so much further ahead. But the fact that I started in 07.
Right.
Was
but what if I told you there is no.
But I learned.
But what if I told you there is no ahead?
There is no. Oh, okay. That's not true, Matt. There's no way.
There's only where you are right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. But I look at people who start after the recession.
I know, but it's like.
Because it's a 40-some year right. growth plan, probably, right?
Right, but so
after a recession, you're going to grow for 40-some years, right. and then maybe there's another recession.
Right, but let's say someone, you know, opens a bakery at age 45 or whatever, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you kind of say, like, and they're like, oh, if I'd only started when I was 25. And you're like, oh, well, but you're exactly where you're supposed to be. You had to have all those lessons.
Oh,
and,
true. Yeah, I needed the education. I need the lessons. Yeah,
right?
I did. I need the sales lesson. It hasn't happened yet.
Right.
I need the lesson of pick up the phone and call them.
Right. Well, and again, this is the last time I'll bring this up, but
okay.
I have to say this, in the confidence that you have when you say, you said it a couple of minutes ago, and I almost interrupted you when you said, you know, I know
that I'm,
I forgot what you said.
I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be rich and
no,
big.
No, when you
I
said,
know.
When you said, I, when you talked about how, that you know how to make cool things, essentially.
Oh, right. I know but, that something's wrong when it's wrong, you
but
mean?
No, the positive one. You just oh. said, look, I can do this because this is what makes me a good right? Because I know X, Y, and Z. Like, you just said it with sure confidence. And that's the same person that's like, but I'm afraid to call Sarah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I see. So I have the confidence, but I don't like to bother people.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because they're
okay. So that is probably Bill Gates, probably Steve Jobs, probably a lot of people. Because I saw, I think it was Christian Dior. I've watched all of the documentaries on, you know, all of the major designers.
Right.
I love those. I'm obsessed with it. I love those. You learn so much when you watch Christian Dior's thing, documentary. And he said, I was two people. Because I really didn't want to be in front of the crowd. But he's in front of the crowd, and he's this, and he's that. And Karl Lagerfeld is probably the same way. He has this, he has to be this person, but he really is a private person.
Right.
He wouldn't pick up the phone and call.
Right.
Right. So
that's why he wears the big shades.
That's right. And now, like, my new favorite singer, Rodriguez, same thing. He wore black shades. He wears black shades all the time.
Right. I think you should put on some black shades and then call Sarah. Because you'll feel...
That's a great idea.
You'll feel hidden.
Maybe that's my next lesson. Become somebody else. You know, I do Facebook Live now.
Right.
A few times a month. So that we can teach people about what's going on in Foxers and other things. And I was always thinking, I think I want to do a character on Facebook Live. Like, I'm going to have April here.
Right.
But then I'm going to get up and then I'm going to have somebody else.
Right.
You know, come in, like a funny character.
Right. And they'll either think it's
talk
funny.
Talk about fashion.
They'll either think it's funny or that you're a kook.
Yeah, that's right. I don't care.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for the Atlanta podcast quiz? This is how we wrap up the show.
Oh, this is great. Yes.
Okay. When is the last time you've been to a Waffle House?
I think we were going, you know, it's funny, we were going last weekend, but we ended up at IHOP.
Okay.
Because it was on the wrong side of the road. Literally, we were going to.
Sometimes that's how it goes.
I love Waffle House.
What is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
Oh, that's easy. Cheese and eggs, scrambled eggs with cheese, well-done bacon, and my husband and I split a pecan waffle. That's exactly our go-to.
Awesome.
He has chocolate milk. I have orange juice.
All right. And what is your favorite place to eat in Atlanta?
Oh, my gosh.
Or Metro Atlanta.
I think it has to be, all of the Fifth Group restaurants.
Which are?
Echo, South City Kitchen being one of my favorites. Alma Casina is theirs, too, I believe. Alma Casina. The Mexican place in Virginia Highlands, the Italian one, and I'm terrible with all the names.
Them.
Yes, but I love South City Kitchen. That's like one of my favorite places to eat in Atlanta.
All right, rank.
I take everyone there.
Rank these in importance to you. You ready?
Okay.
Falcons, Braves, Hawks, United.
Ooh, United's so new, right? And we don't have season tickets to that, and we don't have season tickets right now to any of them because we're busy with the Lake House, but. I think Falcons, United, gosh, they're kind of tied. Braves and Hawks, is that the last one?
Right.
I think Hawks, then Braves.
Right.
But I really love them all. I love the sports in Atlanta. I love being in a major city that has five sports. And if they bring back hockey, I'll be there too. You know, I just think it makes a city so exciting, you know, all that camaraderie. I mean, that's what love and work and fun, you know.
Right.
I mean, like, oh, you get so excited and everybody's happy. It's like a happy place. It's like going to a wedding. I love going to weddings, you know, or big birthday events or big anniversary events. Because everybody's happy for the people.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing. It's like the bride and the groom, they're the team and we're all the audience, you know, the cheerleaders.
Right.
Oh, I was a cheerleader for 7 years, so it makes sense.
For college or?
No, I did it for high school and for intramural.
Oh, okay.
When I was young in high school. Senior year was last year. No. But I think when I was a cheerleader, you didn't have to do some of the stuff they do now.
No, it's a very different world.
Yeah, it's totally different. Of course, the big bow drives me crazy. It's the worst thing in cheerleading.
The big bow?
Yeah.
Do they do that anymore?
They do. It's horrible. It's this giant bow on the top. And right. I tell them when I see them, if you guys are so cute, but you've got to lose the bow.
Lose the bow, man.
Yeah.
All right. What is the best festival in Atlanta?
Ooh, Music Midtown.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then followed by the Dogwood Festival.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then Oyster Fest.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
All right.
Yep.
Do you know the best concert you've ever seen in Atlanta? Like the venue and
yes.
the artist?
Gosh, I'm torn. I say Eagles.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Which Eagles. Was where?
It was.
Phillips, maybe?
Yeah. I think it was Phillips or Georgia Tech's.
Stadium?
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones were at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, and I saw Rolling Stones at Georgia Tech.
I saw that one, too.
Unbelievable. I was shocked. I was shocked at how good he was.
He's amazing.
He's sexy. I mean, I was like, he is really sexy. His energy never stopped.
Right. I think pretty much everybody ever on stage wants to be Mick Jagger.
Yes.
Like pretty much anybody on stage is like, they're in somewhere in their head, they're emulating that guy.
Yes. Yeah. And what did you think of Justin Timberlake?
at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I thought he was.
I was confused by the outfit, for starters.
Oh, he changed, didn't he? Changed.
No, well, he was wearing that woodsy thing, which I guess is his album.
It was like
underwhelming would be the answer.
I really liked it. I thought it was, you know, the old ones were so boring because it was just a guy playing band playing songs or whatever, and I was like, come on, I could fall asleep on, and I love halftime because I was a cheerleader. That was my time to shine.
Right.
Okay. When they screw it up, it makes me upset. You know, I'm like, that's my favorite time. I'm the only one sitting there watching halftime at most of the Super Bowl parties, but I get so excited now because it's just, it's entertaining and
it's a lot
of people and it's a show and it has meaning. Most of them have so much meaning.
I liked Lady Gaga previously.
Yeah, well, that was probably tough to beat. That was tough to follow Lady Gaga. It would be like following Michael Jackson or something.
Right.
You know, because I think he would be amazing. And he was amazing when he did it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he did it a couple times.
Yeah, he was really good. But I thought it was really good because it was this cross between here's a band just listening to the music and all of his songs are so... every time he played one, you're like a kid because you're like, oh, that's my favorite. Yeah, that's my favorite. We know his music so well. So I think just the music was good. And he's adorable. All girls love Justin.
Right.
So he didn't have to do too much for me.
Right.
You know, just his music alone was great. And I didn't love the outfit. I would have changed his outfit too.
All right. So the final question is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Oh my gosh, who's next? I really like this Nick Santora. He's doing security software education, like cyber education. And I actually have dinner with him once in a while, maybe once a year, twice a year, because we, you know, help each other. You know, I feed off of him, he feeds off of me. He's just this really cool young guy that is building this company, and he's doing it different. You know, he's making it more fun. He makes it interesting, and he's in the Tech Village, I think, or something, one of those, Tech Square or something.
Right.
You know, but he was a neighbor, and I was just so impressed with him. I'm like, gosh, he's such a young guy, and he just jumped out on his own, and he's hired some pretty big guys working for him, and he's just one of the kindest people I know, you know, and he just has this vision of how he wants to be, and he's going for it. I'm just so impressed with people like that, you know, young and doing things right and being humble. He's extremely humble.
I like
that, you know, and I like that he praises me. I do something and I do the same for him, but it's because we really are truly impressed with what each other's doing. It's not just helping a friend.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Because we didn't even have to remain friends. He was just lived in the same building as me for a few years. He doesn't even live there anymore. He lives next to the building. So we go have dinner and I learned so much and he learned so much. When you're the CEO of a company, I know that term, you're lonely at the top, but sometimes you have to be the one that thinks of the next thing in the future and find the next idea. And, you know, like I found Pinterest for us 2012. We just shot up from 2,000 on the web sales to 20,000 the next month.
Just by going on Pinterest?
Because I had built a Pinterest page for myself and put Foxers on it. And then someone on the hunt said, I want these money's no object. And they said, oh, those are on Pinterest. I've seen them. And they're Foxers. Those are Foxers, because she didn't know what they were. She just saw a picture. And that just shot us up for, you know, another 150,000 to 200,000 in sales for the next year.
Wow.
Yeah. It's so crazy how things like that happen. But I knew that it would saturate, because if it's happening to me, it's going to happen to other businesses. There weren't many businesses on there. That was 2012. And then I said, can I advertise it? And I was one of the first ones they let advertise as a business. And then that brought us more, or kept it going for another year, and then yada yada. So he tells me ideas that he's doing, and I tell him what I'm using, you know, to promote the business or to work with employees. He gave me my accounting firm, so it's all automated.
That's awesome.
Yeah, my bookkeeping, done. I don't do anything. I do invoices, that's it. So, and then like another group, I found my CPA, which is awesome. You know, I go to a women's manufacturing group in Georgia, and those are, oh, she's connected to that, Sarah. Somebody said, have you ever met Sarah? I said, no, she's connected to that group. So that's another way I might meet her one day.
All right. Well, I think this was a great first
this is great.
Chat.
Oh, good. Now let's go on Donny Deutsch next time, too.
Yes. You can introduce me to that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure one day we'll do something again.
You and Donny?
I'm sure, you know, I would think one day he'd maybe bring back a bunch of his people that he said, right. These are going to be millionaires or make millions.
Right.
So I want to make sure I'm in a really good spot, so I'm not ready for him.
Got it.
I want to do.
All right, cool.
Thank you, Matt.
Hey, folks, there we go. That was April. That was our fun little chat the other day. Hey, do me a favor. Drop me a line. Somebody just did that. I asked you guys like a couple of times the last couple of weeks, hey, drop me a note if you'd like to hear someone. And someone did. And I don't remember the top of my head because, well, I have ADD. But if you have somebody you want to see on the show, drop me a note. MattBDavis@iCloud.com. I'm also Matt B. Davis on all of the platforms. So excited to keep bringing these to you. Thanks for your support. Leave a review on iTunes. Leave a review to me personally. Just say nice things. No, I'll actually take whatever you say. Nice or not so nice. All right, gotta run.